Hi, everyone. It's Dark Journalist. It's great to have everyone here for this very special report that's happening. Now, this is all about space scandals, and I've been tracking these over the last month. This has involved UFOs, NASA. You know, we have these incredible telescopes that have been blowing up while monitoring ET activity. We have all the unusual things going on with SpaceX, of course, and the TTSA and this kind of CIA disclosure narrative. So we're going to get into each one of these because I think we're at a real interesting, crucial crossroads in relation to these stories. And the scandals part, including a top NASA official who has resigned because of some insider trading deals with Boeing, is really going to let us know where this report is heading. Now, we've been watching this kind of CIA-led disclosure effort going on. It's very interesting to watch as they develop the narratives and test certain things out and change out certain personnel, but largely that's been run through the To the Stars Academy, which is a CIA-led effort co-founded by Blink-182, the former Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge, with a bunch of CIA agents, basically. And that's quite literal, actually. It's over 100 years of CIA experience on the board there of TTSA. So just, you know, for those UFO research apologists who go into this and say TTSA isn't a CIA organization, it just doesn't add up with the facts. And this is what we're looking at. So it's a CIA operation about disclosure. Fine, we'll take it from there. And we see a lot of kind of media collusion with this whole narrative as well. We're watching the TTSA and the New York Times cross over a lot. And Harry Reid, the former senator from Nevada, which is where Area 51, of course, is located, and he was the Senate Majority Leader, you know, continuing to support this idea that Elizondo is an insider and ran a UFO program. So we have a lot of these types of narratives, and we have to remember the people who are running them are majority CIA. And when we get into these other areas, we're going to see intelligence assets and money really coming deep into this picture. So to get an idea of what might be going on, we're going to go through these five or six different scandals that have been happening. Now, one of the more interesting ones is this planetary defense telescope, which is the Arecibo telescope in Puerto Rico. Now, on August 10th, you know, we have to keep in mind that this is part of the NASA Planetary Defense Program. On August 10th at 2:45 in the morning, this thing got shredded completely. And the official story is that a metal cable snapped, slated to go through the radar disk. So this is a very shaky official story on what happened here. As we go into some of these stories about it, it looks kind of shakier and shakier. You know, some of the headlines that we've seen on this, one of them from Space News said, a NASA official warned it may take several months to repair damage to the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico caused by a broken cable. Speaking at an August 17th meeting at NASA's Planetary Science Advisory Committee, Lindsey Johnson, director of NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office, said he expected the giant radio telescope to be out of service for months. So it's pretty major. While Arecibo is primarily funded by the National Science Foundation, NASA does contribute funding to use the telescope as a planetary radar to track and characterize near-Earth asteroids. Now, this is interesting because it also is well known that Arecibo is set out there to send out radio transmissions in hope that we can kind of track ET messages coming in. And so to have this thing shredded is a huge should be a headline-grabbing incident. And what we've seen instead is these very kind of strange things about, oh, a cable snapped, you know, and that's all there is to it. Arecibo was set up, you know, in the 60s, but in 1974, the Arecibo message was an attempt to communicate with potential extraterrestrial life and was transmitted from the radio telescope towards different clusters that were out there in space. So, you know, SETI is related to this as well, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. So we have a real kind of hardcore, this is the UFO telescope out there watching for these things. And suddenly, zap, it's out of commission. So I'm going to get back to some of the oddities around that story, because its location and what it was tracking was very, very important before it got shut down. And we're going to get into that. Of course, on this program, you know, we spend a lot of time examining the UFO file and some of the kind of deeper secrecy around it. Whenever it gets to a true UFO incident, you always have these cover stories and, you know, you have these sort of fake disclosure narratives that are about, oh, there's a UFO threat out there. We need more funding for the CIA, which, you know, isn't going to get anyone anywhere. So these are the types of things that we do see in relation to that. Now, what I am tracking and what I think is behind the shredding of this telescope, and let me tell you, by looking at those pictures, it was shredded. And they do have an investigation. There's one story here that says investigation begins into the damage at one of the world's most iconic observatories. But it's very clear that this thing was put out of commission. Now let's get right to what I think is behind this. And it's a story that we've seen coming out. Space.com carried it just a few days ago on August 22nd. So a car-sized asteroid made the closest Earth flyby a space rock has ever survived. On Sunday, August 16th, the asteroid initially labeled ZTF-0DXQ, and now formally known to astronomers as 2020 QG, swooped by Earth at a mere 1,830 miles away. That gives 2020 QG the title of the closest asteroid flyby ever recorded that didn't end with the space rock's demise. It's the closest known non-impacting asteroid, NASA officials told Space.com. Now, the flyby wasn't expected and took many by surprise. In fact, the Palomar Observatory didn't detect this zooming asteroid until about 6 hours after the object's closest approach. So we can see quite clearly this asteroid coming in was unusual. And the, you know, Palomar, which is set up there in California and catches everything, didn't catch it till 6 hours after it almost hit. So this is quite remarkable, and the fact that the Arecibo telescope was knocked out of commission just a few days before lends the possibility that this was a coordinated effort to get that out of the way so it wouldn't see it was coming in. But what was it? That becomes the real question. Now, to take this a little further, there's a story that's just come out August 20th about a Russian astronaut on the International Space Station who claimed to see UFOs in new footage. And he's put this footage up. I have some pictures here. Ivan Vagner, a Russian cosmonaut currently orbiting the Earth aboard the International Space Station, claims to have captured footage of potential UFOs while recording video of the Southern Lights. Quote, "Space guests are how I filmed the new time lapse," Vagner wrote in a tweet featuring the video on Wednesday morning. The one-minute video shows the Aurora Australis passing near Antarctica in Australia, Vagner says. However, in the video, you'll see something else, not only the Aurora, he wrote. And in fact, when we look at that, it's quite remarkable, the footage that he got. This being over Antarctica, which we already know is highly secretive, and it's very difficult to get any real reports about what's going on up there, although we know there are stations of military and defense contractors up there set up, like Lockheed Martin, for example. And their work is so secret that we just don't have access to it. But to see the idea that they are observing perhaps these UFOs going over Antarctica, because that's a pretty good place to set up a base, let's face it. Really, regardless of the conclusion, we can see very clearly that we're looking at something that would give the impression that something very mysterious happened there over the course of that week of August 20th. And let's start really taking a look at this. The Arecibo goes down. It becomes shredded, so they can't track anything with that. The Palomar Observatory Telescope misses a really dramatic asteroid miss. And it really, that asteroid, the Q2020, that is just absolutely remarkable. To think about the impact that that asteroid could have had is remarkable. Then the next thing to show up in all the midst of this is this very, very unusual story about this Russian cosmonaut catching these UFOs over Antarctica with some really startling footage much better than the really kind of lame footage that we've been seeing in the New York Times and all these other media stations promoting this false disclosure narrative that the CIA is putting out through TTSA. And that's really, as we get deeper into this, we get more and more exposure on that. So we have to keep that in mind as we go along here. Now, on this program, we track the UFO file and the secrecy around it. It's such deep secrecy, and the narratives that have been coming out to kind of let this X technology out a little bit at a time to give little morsels to the public and deceive them that there's a UFO threat. That's all wrapped up in there. So we don't get the real truth, and whatever it is that they're putting together, for all we know, it's some kind of a false flag UFO invasion with holographic UFOs. And one of the things that a number of people have noted in relation to the coronavirus shutdown is during those lockdown days, out of nowhere, the Pentagon started to release the story again about these very lame videos, which, as I've pointed out, some of them came out as early as 2007 on YouTube. So hardly the super secret classified material that they claim to be. And that was the December 16th, 2017 release of these videos through Lou Elizondo, the CIA counterintelligence agent who's one of the co-founders of to the Stars Academy. And of course, right at the top rank there, the vice president of operations is a guy named Jim Semivan, who is 25 years CIA operational at the very top levels. This is a very deep operator. So, you know, whenever we get into the CIA on this program, we go into the deep history, taking our cue from, for example, the work of Professor Peter Dale Scott and his deep state work. We understand what the CIA is, how it came out of the Office of Policy Coordination, and how that covert wing of the CIA took over the public wing. And we've been dealing with them in government ever since as this kind of menace that's been showing up. And presidents from Kennedy to Nixon to Reagan and the current occupant of the White House have had tremendous problems reining in this agency. And now we see them coming in and sort of embracing this UFO idea, you know, and saying, oh, we're going to give a UFO disclosure through this to the Stars Academy, when just a few years ago, they were putting out stories saying, oh, remember all those lights they were seeing in the sky, you know, during the 50s and 60s? It was us, the CIA, that was doing that. We were just testing out our own equipment. And so now suddenly they become the champions after getting rid of all that history. It doesn't add up. And it's one of the most kind of insidious things going on in that field, bringing that into the mainstream in this very clumsy way to introduce a UFO threat and get funding through that. The other person I want to mention in relation to the TTSA is Chris Mellon. Now, Mellon's someone who's worked in intelligence, and he worked not only for Clinton, but also W. So these are not the kind of people that you want around a subject as sensitive as the UFO file in terms of getting transparency. If you wanted deception, you'd get counterintelligence agents, and that's what we have, like Lou Elizondo, for example, who have, you know, can claim as his bosses James Clapper and John Brennan, the CIA director under Obama, who was known as the Drone King, because he just couldn't help himself in terms of bombing people who were at weddings or festivities in order to get that one terrorist, you know. And they thought of the people that they would get around these things as just collateral damage. So people like Brennan, people like Clapper, who lied to Congress, are not the kind of people that we want leading this effort. But here we are surrounded by them in the UFO field with the Lou Elizondo. So this is very crucial as we get around this UFO topic to see, well, we had these unusual things happen, these space scandals developing. And in relation to this, we should look at George Knapp's interesting warning. Now, Knapp is one of these guys who's been deeply involved in reporting on the UFO subject for many years. And he goes all the way back to the Bob Lazar Area 51 stories. But for some reason, he threw in very hard with, I mean, he's a Las Vegas reporter, and he worked out there with Senator Harry Reid and people like Bob Bigelow from Bigelow Aerospace, who is, you know, part of this kind of push for UFO disclosure. And the interesting thing is that you know, Bigelow, just like SpaceX, wants to operate out in space in that privatized kind of version of the space program. So that's in Las Vegas. And then we have Knapp reporting and bringing on Elizondo into this UFO story. And really, you know, Elizondo, for a while, the only interviews he would accept were the ones he was doing with Knapp. And there's a reason for that, because there's a lot of softball questions in there. So regardless of the kind of past that Knapp has, for some reason, he was dealing with kid gloves with Elizondo. But recently he came out with a couple of interesting tweets. I want to read them here. George Knapp on August 19th tweeted out, "Just when you think the Pentagon's public affairs and FOIA, that's Freedom of Information Act offices, may have entered a new era of truth-telling and transparency, they circle back around to take another cheap pot shot at Lou Elizondo and ATIP," which is the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program that Elizondo claimed to lead. And also claimed was a UFO program, even though there's no evidence of that. Now, Knapp made a couple of further very interesting comments about this, saying, "Sorry, I do not have details. Heard from a DC contact that some sort of statement is coming from DOD. Don't know from whom. Oldies but goodies about how ATIP wasn't a UFO program and Elizondo wasn't part of it. Is DOD trying to sabotage its own credibility?" And then finally, the third one, "Okay, it won't be a statement. DOD sent a detailed response to a FOIA request. I'm deferring to the person who submitted the request to share the info with the public." Now, this goes again to this kind of defense of Lou Elizondo, which I find just absolutely fascinating coming out of these circles. Over and over again, we see it. And, you know, it's interesting because any questioning of Elizondo, his past, his relationship to these programs, has to be completely just cut off. You know, there's no investigation. There's no asking him the tough questions. Elizondo still works for the government. So this idea of him being a whistleblower and an outsider just doesn't add up with the fact that he still is an active member of the government. So, you know, these things don't add up. And we've seen that over and over again with TTSA. But I think what the main thrust of this that we have to really tune into is, what exactly are they designing here? What's going on with these reports? And what are the scandals that are breaking that they're trying to stop? Now, I want to look at a scandal in relation to NASA, because we were watching this whole SpaceX spectacle of sending these astronauts out finally and then landing them back for the first time since 2011. And we all know that there's 50 years of missing history here in relation to the space program, the Apollo program. The last time we had people set foot on the moon is 1972. So you have 48 years there, nothing happening. And suddenly they say, "Hey, we're going back to the moon." So there's no accounting for this secret development in space, this whole clandestine space operation. And we've reported on how Hughes Aerospace and other companies that were really developing this were deep, deep into secrecy. And a lot of the companies that are involved here set up on the public dime this incredible infrastructure in space, but it's largely being privatized because the companies that are going out there are not part of NASA. You know, they're just their own individual thing. Everything from Virgin Galactic to SpaceX to Bigelow Aerospace, these are independent companies. You know, we spend all this time and energy developing a space program that John Kennedy launched with the moonshot. And then that whole thing goes black and we're supposed to just ignore that. That doesn't really add up. So let's take a look at this scandal. This gets us into an interesting one. This is U.S. criminal probe looks at former NASA officials' contacts with Boeing executive. I think this is going to be quite explosive when it hits in full, and the public understands exactly what was happening here. Federal prosecutors, this is the Wall Street Journal now from August 14th. Federal prosecutors have opened a criminal probe into whether a senior NASA official improperly told a high-ranking Boeing company executive about the status of a lunar landing contract, spurring the company to revise its bid, according to people familiar with the investigation. Now, the person who did this is Douglas Levero, and he's the Associate Administrator for Human Exploration and Operations, or he was before he resigned, or he was told to resign very abruptly. And he said, "Oh, it was over a difference of opinion and all these different things." So for three decades, he was in the Department of Defense and the National Reconnaissance Office, developing, managing, and establishing national policy for the full range of national security space activities. Lavera is a very unusual character, and him exiting just before the SpaceX mission that sent some astronauts up to the space station is very, very unusual timing. Indeed, the probe now is continuing, and they're getting into the deeper aspects of this whole thing. So we're going to be keeping an eye on what's going on there with Lavera, Boeing, and why they had to get rid of this guy at NASA as the scandal was breaking, and why he wasn't really fessing up to the public about what was happening. And he was just saying, oh, it was a difference of opinion. And we find out that we're getting into criminal charges on this. It hasn't escaped my notice that Jan Harzan, who was the president over at MUFON, also was arrested recently. That happened back in July, and in relation to charges that he was soliciting a teenager. And, you know, Harzan is the president of MUFON, which is the largest and most well-defined organization that follows the UFO file. So, you know, these things all happening in succession are quite remarkable. There's a huge switch out going on here, and we really need to connect these dots to take a good look at this. Now, in the middle of all this, the Pentagon announces this UAP task force, which is going to be looking into all those UAP sightings. Well, it's UFOs, right? But they have to change the name somehow. And Christopher Mellon, from the billionaire Mellon family, the big banking family, and he's the same one that I referred to earlier as part of TTSA, and he is the one who is really kind of corralling some of these politicians to get on board. So it's very interesting to me that he was such a big operator in intelligence with W and with Clinton, because we see both of those sides coming up. You know, on the CIA side is the Bush side, and the Clinton side, really with the whole Podesta push and Tom DeLonge and all that, that came out through WikiLeaks, that they were basically, the Clinton campaign in 2016 was basically promoting this whole kind of UFO fake out aspect. And that's where DeLonge and Podesta and all this comes from. So that was a year before the 2016 election, was a year before the TTSA announced itself as a corporation. So we're looking at some very unusual pieces to that puzzle, but the Pentagon UAP task force, you know, this stuff, suddenly they got who on board with this whole thing through the Senate Intelligence Committee, Marco Rubio. And he's the senator from Florida who ran for president in 2016 and didn't get a lot of traction. But he's well known as a hawk. This is somebody who's always talking about bombing Iran or going into these other countries. So you got a real neocon there. And now he's all up for talking about a UFO threat, just like the TTSA wants to promote the UFO threat. You know, they have a program on the History Channel called Unidentified. And what does it do? It promotes the planetary threat. That's the name of one of the episodes. So over and over again, and they'll use very false circumstances in relation to this threat idea. For example, on the program Unidentified that the TTSA runs through the History Channel, they had an episode about how a UFO attacked a helicopter. And this has been just debunked over and over again. You know, we see different researchers even getting into this, like Grant Cameron, and he interviewed some of those Italian officials, and they said, you know, this has nothing to do, and I mean nothing to do with the UFO file. There was no damage to the helicopter. And further in that episode, they try to suggest that these fires in Italy were related to some like UFO firing down on it. They found some arsonists. And the stories are like from 15 years ago. So TTSA has a habit of doing this and running these kind of fraudulent narratives through these programs. That's a very CIA tactic. Just kind of putting their own spin on things and grabbing these obscure events. So I think when we're looking at, when we see all this TTSA activity and when we see the Arecibo telescope being knocked out, we see this near-Earth asteroid coming in, it tells us that there's a lot of activity that's been right on the surface there, and that these scandals run deep. You have to remember that the UFO file and the scandals around it go all the way back to the 1940s when the CIA was set up in a major way to really kind of keep these things quiet. And all the lying that's gone on ever since then has spawned all kinds of media censorship and all the rest. By the time you got to the Kennedy administration, Kennedy was very well versed in the UFO file through his relationship with James Forrestal. And Forrestal was the first defense secretary, and he supposedly jumped out of a window, but he was the one who really had taken on the full brunt of the UFO file and presenting it to the public. And he shows up in a number of these documents relating to the early secrecy around the UFO file. So what does that tell us? The fact that he was removed the way that he was, thrown out of the window at Bethesda Hospital, and Kennedy going on with this knowledge into his own presidency. And, we've had on this program, for example, the Watergate lawyer, Douglas Caddy, who said that his friend E. Howard Hunt, who was a CIA super spy, said that the reason that JFK was killed is because he wanted to bring the UFO file out and share it with different countries, et cetera. So that by the time we get to Reagan and SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative called Star Wars, we get people like Gorbachev saying that Reagan took him aside and said, "Will you help us if there's an alien attack?" Obviously, they were developing these things with these UFOs in mind, and we need to get very clear about that and the kind of secrecy that groups like the CIA have poured over this. And now when they're coming out with this kind of watered down, wilted version of disclosure that has all these CIA attachments to it, like the threat idea, we have to say that they're gearing up for something. And that's something that we really need to be watching and paying very close attention to. What's happening here in 2020 with this kind of strange CIA version of UFO disclosure, and we're getting involved in these different things around asteroids, and we see a lot of narratives out there around the space aspect. Now, we've looked at companies like SpaceX and Amazon's Jeff Bezos doing Blue Origin and all the rest, and Starlink and all these various satellites that are being put out there. This is entirely new in our experience. We've never had that many out there, and we're really kind of creating this infrastructure, this space infrastructure, which become very powerful by all this black budget development over the past 50 years under the public's nose, and yet we couldn't get anything about it. That's why we haven't had a man on the moon since 1972. So the question is, what is that vast space infrastructure for? And that gets us into what these space scandals really are all about, because it's a very highly sensitive topic to be dealing with. Now, we're going to be covering a lot of this as we do on the X series on Friday nights at 8 p.m. I invite you to join us then. We'll be watching these stories closely for you, and we look forward to seeing you.